We're at the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center near Clay Center, Nebraska today for a beef research update sponsored by the Nebraska Beef Council and Nebraska Cattlemen. And we heard a presentation this morning from Dr. John Schmidt talking about antimicrobial resistance research being done here at the research center. Dr. Schmidt, talk about in general what you're looking for with your research project.
We're looking to actually provide real hard numbers to the impact of antimicrobial use in production of cattle has on the levels of antibiotic resistance, both environmental impact through manure, but also what's there in the final meat product.
And this is a big issue, of course. It's a lot of publicity about antibiotic resistance developing in humans. So this is important research that you're doing.
Yes, it is. And one of the things we wanted to counter is many people have a very simplistic view of it, that animals that receive antibiotics are going to be riddled with antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and animals that do not get antibiotics, there'll be no resistance in them. And that is not true. Resistance is an inherent part of bacteria. In any environment that has bacteria, there will be resistant bacteria there.
How long have you been conducting the research, and how close are you to actually publishing something, a report?
So I did my first antibiotic-resistant research in relation to cattle about 8 years ago, but we really started addressing this about 4 or 5 years ago, and we've published a couple of studies, and we have one that's under review and a few more that are following behind that. So we already have a very nice publication record, and we'll be expanding upon it in the near future.
One of your conclusions said the typical antimicrobial use during beef cattle production does not have broad detrimental impacts on human or environmental health relative to other sources.
Yes, that's correct. And on the environmental side, we do see just slightly higher levels of resistance genes. The genes we see slightly higher levels are extremely common. Any study of an environment that uses or of soil or a fecal impacted environment, but even soil that hasn't been impacted by feces, if you use similar methods identical methods to what we did, you will find those same resistance genes. They are very common resistance genes. The more important resistances we had a hard time detecting, and we found identical levels in feces. Now, when you move, now you have to remember, cattle, when they go through processing, go through a series of antimicrobial interventions. Now, these are not antibiotics. These are slightly different chemicals, and these are to prevent things like E. coli 0157 contamination and Salmonella contamination. But they also work just as well against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So by the time you get to the final product, the final ground beef that you see, and beef is not a sterile substance. There are bacteria in beef. That's just the way it is. There's no way to make beef. There's no way to make any food sterile, okay? But the bacterial flora we see in conventionally produced beef and raised-raw antibiotics-produced beef are identical, statistically identical. They're the same. And the levels of resistance are also the same.
Okay. Another conclusion, you said additional antimicrobial use restrictions on U.S. cattle production should not be expected to yield major, in other words, consistently detectable resistance reductions in ground beef.
Yes. And we conclude that because these studies and some other studies we published and other ones we're about to, there's lots of different ways we looked at with and without antibiotic use. And we don't see any consistent reductions between with and without. We have a few studies where we see one of these less important genes that's a little bit higher in the one animals that received antibiotics, but we do another study and we see no difference. And since these genes, the few genes where we actually see higher levels of conventionally produced cattle, those are the resistance genes that are the most common resistance genes, and they're of low clinical importance. So those genes are present in the environment at medium to high levels, and they're at medium to high levels in healthy human flora, in their gastrointestinal flora. So even if there was, and again, I want to emphasize, in meat, we didn't see any difference. Even if there was slightly higher levels in meat, it'd be going into a much higher level of that resistance gene in the human gut flora.
Are we mainly talking about ground beef here?
We're talking about ground beef for the final product, but you can probably extrapolate to whole muscle cuts of beef, except now you're going to get into technical meat production here. Because ground beef is ground, you can find bacteria through it. But the muscle tissue of animals, including cattle, so beef, like a whole muscle cut, you know, like a steak you would buy at a store, the interior of that is sterile. All right, it's just the exterior that has bacterial contamination. And I've never seen anybody eat a raw piece of meat. When you cook that, you throw it on the grill and you sear the top and bottom, and the exterior and the sides gets cooked. So that now has killed all the bacteria there. You know, ground beef, it's only outbreaks occur because people have not cooked their ground beef thorough enough to kill all the bacteria. And that's the other thing, another important intervention, if you will, is proper cooking by the consumer. So when ground beef is properly cooked, there should not be any live bacteria left in it.
Okay, so I think I quoted you correctly here with one of your final comments. You said there's no way that reducing antibiotic use will change the safety of beef. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, so if you want to talk about human health impacts, and I have had to go very deep into science here, but each of the scenarios they set up where somebody would get a drug-resistant bacterial infection due to antibiotic use requires many hurdles, many very low probability events. And now, certainly there have been outbreaks of salmonella in beef. There's been less over recent years as interventions have improved and the beef industry learns from each incident. But what we're saying is, what we found is the levels of resistance functionally don't change or have very little change, even at the places where you've had the most resistance. And as that moves through the interventions, we start seeing no change. So that impact of removing antibiotics will have, there is no impact on the level of resistance by the time it gets to the consumer from removing antibiotics in production. It's really complex and hard to summarize for a radio interview, but in short, we see very similar levels of resistance in the fecal level. That's where it's going to be the most concentrated. And then as we progress through processing to the final product, those differences get less and less till there's functionally no difference, all the while reducing the number of bacteria. So again, you have to go through several steps, but that removing antibiotics has minimal impact where bacteria are most concentrated and no impact by the time it sees the consumer.
You expressed some frustration too that this message is not getting picked up out there, that, you know, we're still hearing the story that beef production is contributing to antibiotic resistance in humans. So how do you get that message out there?
Well, that's difficult because as a scientist, I am most comfortable in dealing with dry research findings and reporting p-values and sample sizes. And that's not what sells in a 30-second spot on national news. It's also hard because there are bacteria, bacteria even present in final products, not when they're consumed. It should be when properly cooked, the bacteria should be dead. And they're certainly present in all of our guts. Every animal, the gastrointestinal system of every animal is riddled with bacteria, and they're key to their function. And any place there is bacteria, there is resistance. Resistance is ancient. There are studies of uncontacted native of Indian tribes, of caves that haven't been explored by humans till they're first sampled. So the bacteria in there are estimated to be 4 million years old, and you can find all the same resistances that we find in animals, and many of the same resistances that are causing human health issues. So it's easy to say, ha, I sampled this animal and I found this nightmare resistance. What gets lost is that nightmare resistance is not in the pathogen. And you find equal levels of that nightmare resistance in animals that are produced where antibiotics are used and animals that are produced in environments where no antibiotics are used. So we have to gauge, and part of what we're doing is gauging, what is that background level of resistance? And where we've done that, we see very little, if no movement, of the levels of resistance genes between that background level when you use antibiotics. And I'll add here, for some of the more common resistances, especially take a common treatment for cattle is chlorotetracycline. It's abbreviated CTC. And it's used to prevent respiratory disease and prevent liver abscesses. Now, right after treatment, we will see a small bump of tetracycline resistance. But that's only a small increase over the normal background level of tetracycline resistance. Now, what's more interesting for the respiratory disease issue, that's an administration that occurs right after cattle are weaned. So they're present, they're being fed for months after that administration. And one of the things we found is that level of tetracycline resistance in both treated and untreated animals becomes higher over time. We think has something to do with the changing nature of the microbial flora as cattle develop. But that small increase you see in the treated animals when they are given the CTC is far dwarfed by the natural increase occurs over time just through the growth of the animal. Now, we don't understand all the factors that contribute to the natural increase, but we know that natural increase is greater than the increase we see from tetracycline administration.